Talk Around Town. I'm Deborah Schnabel, your guide through today's talk about things that matter. Stay tuned for our current news analysis with Tom Morfitt and Margaret Friedenauer. And today's talking topic, we're going to be talking with Borough Administrator Mark Ernest about borough administrative strategies. We'll check in with the Haines Arts Council, and hey, who are you? Introduces us to another community member. This is Talk Around Town. Good day to you, Margaret and Tom. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good.
Good morning. Hey, we're going to have to do better than that. This is Talk Around Town. What's
February.
Up?
It's
What's
February.
Up, guys?
Basketball, slush, the usual late February stuff.
Okay, we got some time to fill here. And, of course, Margaret and Tom, the two eyes and ears, the four eyes and ears of Haines, the ones who really know what's going on, really. Okay, lay it on us.
Tom.
Well, bad news week for the borough, and I'm sure you'll be talking to Mark Ernest about some of this stuff.
I don't know if he knows it's a bad week for the borough.
Well, the draft report on the 12 holes that we dug down there by the harbor didn't hit anything. No bedrock. 160 feet down. The geologists are fascinated. It's like, wow, there's no terra firma for 160 feet down.
Wow, okay.
So, of course, that's very bad news because they wanted to pile a bunch of rocks down there. Mm-hmm. To close
well, what
off
are,
that.
I mean, this begs the question of what are the rocks that are there right now sitting on?
They, apparently, in the 1972 or 73, when they originally put those rocks there, they hit just that perfect sweet spot. You can't put another rock out there because it's going down to the China.
That is funny. And so lucky for us, apparently.
Well, no.
But now we have new problems.
But this means they can't expand it?
Well, no, this means they can expand it, but they're going to have to put up one of those sheet walls like they have over in Skagway.
I love that. I love the look of it.
Yeah, and you can put art on it, which you can't do on rocks necessarily. Mm-hmm. But the downside of that is it only lasts about 30 years, then it falls into the ocean. You have to build another one. Versus rocks tend to stay, you know, like the pyramids. They kind of stick around forever.
Mm.
So, so that's a little bad news. It's about the same cost.
There's
a
name for that. It's not a barrier wall, but it's
a wave barrier.
Wave barrier.
Yeah.
A wave barrier.
It looks like we're heading for a wave barrier.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a little scoop.
It looks so much more modern. I guess that's why I like it.
Yeah. And the good thing about it is also a wind barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stand behind it, you don't get hit by the wind.
Excellent.
Versus that doesn't happen with a breakwater because it doesn't sit up as high.
Mm-hmm.
And the other little scoop we had was that the transportation report by Prophecy Platinum on which way they were going to bring their ore, which is good news for your listeners in Skagway, bad news for Haines, is that they are leaning to now. They're saying if we have to do it now, it would be Skagway. And a little different spin than what they told us when they were here in October during the mining summit we had there at the Legion Hall. They said, we're not building the terminal. So it kind of throws it back to the borough or ADA or some other, consortium of mines or something that, you know, kind of one of the messages that came out of that summit in October was, well, and I think from the Northern Economics report on mining potential here, or transshipment potential, was all we need to do is really know our specs to tell these guys. And so this has kind of gone another step further where they're saying, we're not building it.
Joke.
you actually need to have an ore terminal for us to look
seriously. We didn't mean it.
Well, kind of... now that we think about it.
On second thought.
The interesting little economic part of that was that Haines was kind of the preferred port in so much as mm-hmm. we're 100 miles shorter, and transportation costs is a big equation.
But realistically, how close is Wellgreen or Prophecy Mine to actually producing ore?
Was it 2017 March?
Yeah, that's the earliest, though.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. A lot can happen.
I had the impression that they had to put that transportation plan together as if it was present day. So that mm-hmm. still gives the borough time if it wants to try to
react. And that's in our story as mm-hmm. well. It's like, this is not final, but we're not building you a terminal. Or we're not building a terminal.
Oh,
so so it does advance the discussion a bit if mm-hmm. if Haines is serious about transshipment. It seems like somebody has to build a terminal besides
somebody has
the company.
To stop dreaming and start doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or do we just want to be a port of import?
We can be a port of import. In any case, the port still needs to be improved. That is true. Which, you know, and we will talk with Mark about that. You know, some of the discussion that has taken place over the last couple of weeks, well, years actually, for Haines development purposes is for us to see things a lot more holistically than just everything specific. Like the dock development is not specific to ore, but it can be general for all products. And as you say, import and export, that's true too. All right. Well, is there anything light? How about the basketball tournaments? That wasn't that last weekend?
That was hectic. That was busy for the town.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't light either, but I'm watching for the ferry study to come out next week. It's coming out next Monday or Tuesday from the State Department of Transportation about the shuttle ferries.
Okay.
So we get to see what the Department of Transportation thinks.
Has been doing
and what the shuttle ferry designs from their perspective look like now that they've
had a week to put them together. This fascinates me. It really fascinates me. I mean, has somebody been in a closet somewhere, like designing these shuttle ferries all along? Well, I guess we'll find that out. Because, I mean, we have been developing, I mean, I thought all of the resources, the mental, energy, the, pencil pushing, the computer programming, everything has been, focused on designing an Alaska-class ferry. And then to decide that you're not going to do that, and that then within, 3 weeks have a plan for an alternative seems pretty remarkable.
Well, I think the math of it is the interesting part was that, we figured we needed 160 million, 150, 160 for the Alaska class. Mm-hmm. And they told us we're going to build you two boats that can do what the Alaska class can for the most part.
I don't believe it. Do you?
For 100 million.
Do you believe it?
Well, maybe they went to jiffyferry.com and, there's some.
Oh, Lord.
Who knows?
Well, no, but they're saying that the original concept way back in, 2006 was for a shuttle ferry design. So they're saying all they're doing is stripping it back down.
To the Murkowski plan, the original Murkowski plan.
Whether that's...
Yeah. Well, we told him.
That should be... Oh, my.
I thought we were going to go around on his jet. Wasn't that the idea with that guy?
Okay.
Oh, I do have a light thing.
Oh, lovely.
The duly noted item this week was the Benassis, Mario Sr. and his wife.
The kissing? Are you talking about?
Won the kissing contest.
Yes, they did.
The Valentine's kissing contest.
Where was the Valentine's kissing contest?
The Pioneer.
It was at the Pioneer. And
And
kissing apparently is the new rage.
Public kissing.
Because there's a fundraiser for the gals who were burned out of their cabin, the cabin fire. And one of the events is a kissing booth. So kissing is back.
At least in February.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a fundraiser for the spelling bee boy. Are we going there or not?
No.
No.
I don't think Tom could raise enough money with a gifting booth to send Jade into the spelling bee.
And just for clarification, there is a story behind the spelling bee winner, I think, this year. He's still trying to find his way to Anchorage because the school district that supports the spelling bee does not support the transportation. Is that correct?
Well, it's a little grayer story than that. Okay. I mean, it was the American Legion Auxiliary that for years provided the money
to send the kids to the state,
the local champ to the state, mm-hmm. and that wasn't possible this year. I think everybody looked around at each other in terms of who was going to do it. And so this week, Jessica is in Jessica Rettinger, Jaden, the champion's mom, is trying to raise funds. Previously, we just gave this, said, hey, you're a great speller. Here's your plane ticket to Anchorage. And so there's a scramble this year.
Okay. All right. No kissing booth, though, to raise money for that. Mm. Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's happening. Okay. Anything else?
I see. Oh, with this weekend, we have another big weekend of basketball.
Triple threat.
Oh, the triple threat. I did see that in the community calendar, but I wasn't quite sure what that was. Who's threatening who?
It's middle schoolers.
What is the triple threat?
Well, it's a middle school tournament for Skagway, Juneau, and Haines teams will compete over the weekend for the middle school.
Okay.
But we don't have any more home games in Haines, and Skagway is also on the road until regionals. So
all right.
High school basketball over for a few. At least.
All right. I was getting at what the threat was. It snow, rain, and hail? Or
I think it's Haines, Juneau, Skagway.
Gotcha. It's the team themselves. And on that note, thank you very much for coming by and cluing us all in to what's going on. Council has been bringing us theater, music, magicians, and all sorts of entertainment for years, many, many years. And we're checking in today with the Haines Arts Council president, I do believe, Tom Haywood. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Deborah.
And you can tell us how many years that you've been scouting around to for talent to showcase in Haines.
I've been here 19 years now, and I think I joined it my first year here, so I've been at it for 18 years.
Whoa, and you've been the president for 18 years?
No, I've been the president, I think, for 12 or 13 now.
Okay, so do you know how old the Haines Arts Council is?
If I were home digging in my files, I could answer that. Uh-huh. I think it is like from 1986, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be, can you do that, 86,
73, 27 years, maybe, yeah. At
somewhere
least. I could
there.
Have that wrong,
right.
too.
Okay. Well, anyway, there's lots of activities then, and you've really done a great job with, pulling stuff together for the community. Last week, I know here, just on the basis of local talent alone, you had a very, very popular program and so many cars in the parking lot that it was spilling out onto Soap Suds Alley.
Yeah, you're referring to the Northern Light Showcase, which is all local talent and mostly music, but it's open to other kinds of genres as well. And it was really great, as it is every year. And we always fill just to the brim, and we keep thinking maybe next year we have to do two of them. And we might. There's enough entertainers in town that want to do it.
Well, do you think that's part of why, and excuse me, I'm going to say that the Haines Arts Council is successful. Would you say that's a successful program?
Absolutely.
Okay. But do you think that part of the reason it is successful is because we have so many artists and people appreciating arts in the community? It's not like you have to hit us over the head with it.
I do. I think that's a big part of it. It's also very affordable. We haven't raised our ticket prices in 15, 20 years.
You haven't even thought about it, have
no.
you?
Well, no. Yes, we do think. As a matter of fact, look out next year. No, okay. I'm kidding. It has to happen sometime, but it's so affordable.
And is that because the acts themselves keep getting more expensive?
The acts are flexible for small towns, but even so, most of our acts do not make a profit. They almost all lose a little money, and that's why our membership is so critically important to our success. Uh-huh. We have to have as many community members as possible, and that puts us over the top for making it for the year financially.
And how else does Haines Arts Council get funded? Like, I know Rasmussen Foundation used to, and other ones sponsor the transportation?
We don't have any annual, you know, steady funding, but if I apply for certain grants mm-hmm. for some events, and we can get some travel money from the Rasmussen mm-hmm. Foundation mm-hmm. Or from an organization in Denver called WestAF.
Oh.
But, you know, it's all volunteer stuff. Everybody mm-hmm. on our board is a volunteer, and these are very time-consuming procedures to write up grants and that.
Oh,
so
uh-huh.
so
okay.
it's hard to do a lot of that. But we actually are having an event in March that is partly sponsored by Rasmussen.
Okay,
grant.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up on the calendar. Now, you've got something coming up here even this weekend.
Oh, boy, tomorrow night. Don't miss this. This is one of the absolute highlights of the year.
And in Skagway it's
Saturday.
And
in Skagway on Saturday at mm-hmm. 7 o'clock at their A&B Hall. But here in Haines, it's tomorrow night, Friday night, 7:30 at the Chilcat Center.
Now, I did note that it was on the community calendar, HainesAK.com. It says 6 o'clock, so we better fix that.
I don't know how that possibly happens. We've never had a concert at 6 o'clock.
I didn't think so.
But it's all over town at 7:30, and so I'm sure people will get it right. And this is a group from Toronto called the Good Lovelies.
Uh-huh.
Three women, fantastic singers, players, and humorous.
So they're going to do like comedy talk?
It's all, it's primarily a music thing, but in between, mm-hmm. they'll have people laughing.
Uh-huh.
It's a really great entertainment.
Now, Joni earlier on the show played a tune. I heard it was like a single voice, mm-hmm. but they do harmonize.
Oh,
I think,
perfect. Yeah. They're a little bit reminiscent in my mind of like the Papini sisters or the Roaches from long ago.
That's my era.
Roaches. Mm-hmm. But really great mm-hmm. energy. They're all mm-hmm. great musicians.
Mm-hmm. What instruments do they play?
Oh, there's going to be guitar, banjo, mandolin.
Nothing electronic, fiddle, though. It's all acoustic.
Actually, they are going to use some guitar amps for a couple of their pieces, too, and a bass.
Mm-hmm. Do they change costumes?
I don't know about that, but they definitely change instruments.
It kind of looks kind of cowgirlish kind of on the cover there. And I thought, I wonder if this is like Western, you know, rockabilly. What is this stuff?
I don't know how to categorize it, really. It's kind of more in the folk tradition. Actually, they won a Canadian equivalent of a Grammy for Emerging Folk Artist of the Year a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
So they're very well...
But it's not folk like we used to... It was folk in the 60s.
No, it's not the Chad Mitchell Trio. But, it'll be modern and exciting.
Cool. And that's this Friday. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Okay, then coming up in March.
In March, we have another great band coming. It's called Miss Tess and the Talkbacks. And they're kind of a three-piece band. I think they are sassy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a retro swing jazz kind of thing.
Nice.
You'll find it very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's March 24th.
And that's a three-piece band again?
Three-piece band.
Three women again?
The main singer, Miss Tess, mm-hmm. but I think her other band members are male, but it's a mixture.
Okay.
And they're traveling on a Rasmussen travel grant, by the way, so that's an example.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
April 28th, we've got the Richard Hatch Academy coming, and he's a magician and deceptionist, and he performs with his wife, who's a violinist, combine magic and violin.
Boy, some people really know how to push it,
don't
they?
This is going to be, and she's a great violinist. I mean, she's teaches at the Eastman School of Music, I think it is, or something. It's very, very accomplished. It'll be fun. And that's going to be in our lobby where you're going to be nice and close up to to the magic.
So, sure, he's a deceptionist. He might not even be there, really. You know what I mean?
He better. He better show up. That's right. And then we're also this spring going to have a couple of nights of the Oscar-nominated short films and animated shorts.
Those.
And I don't have the actual dates for those yet, but we're in line to get those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots coming up yet this spring. And can I give a little preview of some highlights for next year real quick? Because I want people to really get excited.
All right.
Okay. In September... This is 95% sure. The Hot Club of Cowtown is going to come.
Okay.
They were the headliners at the Juno Folk Festival a few years ago.
Oh.
They're a huge phenomenon around the country, and they're going to be here. Also in October, we're going to have a great dance group coming in from New York City.
Oh,
the
fun.
Michael Mao dance group. So
you had a dance group here last year too.
Yep, the Thodos Dance Chicago.
I think it sold out or something.
Yes,
right? couldn't get in.
We are going to look for another big crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a great Canadian trio called the David Miles Trio. Classical pianist, Derek Yapel Schobert. What a name for a pianist, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then another duo of women called Dala.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you may have heard of them. They're really a growing phenomenon in the United States. Two women songwriters who are just beautiful and wonderful songwriters, and they're going to be huge entertainment. And I've got a whole bunch of other things that might happen. And, you know, so please be a member and help with these things come along.
Okay, so just to become a member of the Arts Council, it sounds like a council as, as opposed to a membership group, but what, maybe just stop by at the Babbling Book?
Or? You could do that. Let me describe a couple ways here.
Okay.
At our concerts, we always have membership forms available.
Okay.
But not everybody makes it to every concert. Mm-hmm. You could stop by the bookstore, or you know, we send out a big mailing in the fall, but not everybody's on that list, and we want to get you on the list.
Yeah, some of us put it on our counter somewhere, and then you know, we don't do anything about it for months.
And if you're just thinking of it now and you've lost the sheet, just give me a call at the bookstore.
Okay. All right.
766-3356.
All right.
Or home.
Very good.
You know, we'll
all
get
right.
You set
up. Thank you very much, Tommy. I guess we'll see you tomorrow night at the Chilkat Center at 7:30.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Hey, it's dark and damp. Let's get some sunshine in our lives.
All right. All right. Let's go. To Talk Around Town on KHNS. The Haines Borough has a managerial form of government, and this means that the manager is the chief administrative officer who plans projects, develops budgets, organizes and leads and evaluates the staff, most of them anyway. And the manager does these things under the broad policy set by the assembly, the big boss. And so Mark Ernest is the manager of the Haines Borough, and he's with us. Been with us here at the borough longer than other manager, I think, that we've had since the borough and the city consolidated in 2003. I want to welcome you, Mark, for being here today with me.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Well, this is a little different format for Talk Around Town for those who are tuning in for the first time ever. Normally, the talking topic of the day is something, you know, that we usually have a couple of people here debating an issue, so to speak. But it's a really busy day, and a lot of people are out doing stuff. And so I thought, what we'll use this time to talk with Mark, because so many of the things that we talk about on Talk Around Town with other people are that they emanate from decisions that are made administratively. A lot of times programs that come out or develop out of the administrative offices or the assembly. And so we all get together and we talk about it. So it's good to stop every once in a while and talk to the head cheese, so to speak. And we're not going to talk so much about opinions as we are just about, you know, what it is that you're thinking. And Mark, I want to start with planning, because when you came to Haines, how long have you been here now?
Just over 3 years.
Over 3 years, right. And the other day, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to stop by the office, the newspaper office, and get the article. But I was there the other day, and I saw picture of you when you were first hired, you know, sitting very officially at the desk, you know, and the caption was about planning. You know, it was one of your major things that you brought to the community, was that you emphasized the importance of planning. And in your little over 3 years, you've produced plans. And the community has invested over $250,000 in various plans. And so we have them, documents anyway, all over the place. The two most important ones, I think, are the comprehensive plan and then the facilities master plan. We've had some other sub-plans, and we can talk about those. But I want to start with the comp plan. Now, I just for full disclosure, need to state I am on the Borough Assembly, so it's and I'm hosting this show. So a lot of what we talk about, I like to try to pretend that I'm just the host of the show, but I do have to say that the Assembly adopted the plan, and I am an Assembly member, and I didn't quite know exactly what it meant to adopt the plan, because you have this enormous document that, you know, quite honestly, I haven't read every single word of it. I'll be honest about that. I have not. But I attended many of the planning sessions. We now have this document. What does it mean when a government adopts a plan?
Very good question. and I'll go back a little bit in time here, okay, and get approach that question. But I've been over the past 25 years of municipal management, I've been involved in four or five comprehensive plan updates. And when I was looking at the possibility of coming down to Haines, the first place I went was to the Borough website, and I pulled up the comprehensive plan and the budget. Those were the two documents that really, I think, shed the most amount of light into a community from a government standpoint.
And you applied for the job anyway.
I did, enthusiastically. Okay. But it was interesting because when I did, the big talk, the big thought was that the Trans-Canada gas line was going to go right through, right past down the Alaska Highway. Mm-hmm. Haines was being looked at as a possible import facility for moving material, pipe, and other materials up north for the construction of the gas line. Of course, recently that didn't happen. And but it gives an idea of it's an example of being able to plan for situations for the future. You may not know exactly how things are going to end up. And what's happening now is instead of a gas line running from the North Slope of Alaska down to Calgary and Point South, we're looking at developing gas fields up in the northern Yukon that have to get to Tidewater. All of the mining interests of the Yukon were counting on a gas line coming through. They could tap into that one way or another. That was going to solve their energy needs. Well, that now is off the shelf. So everybody, I like to say everybody's plan B came off the shelf, you know, in all of those offices in Vancouver or wherever. So they're looking at different alternatives. Well, what was being considered, you know, 3 years ago still applies today. And if Haines now, instead of moving gas pipe north, we're looking at moving mining construction equipment north in the short term, and potentially somewhere down the line, possibly exporting concentrate and other products. So, you know, we have to be planning. It's important to be focusing, I think, on what impacts would come about if something were to develop, such as Palmer, you know, Constantine effort there. What does that do to the schools? What does that do for our local transportation infrastructure? What does that do for health and, you know, medical facilities and that sort of thing? So these are the kinds of things I think that planning helps prepare for those types of developments that will have significant impacts on the community.
So, and we will get to some of those more specific plans within the plan, so to speak, is what I think of them. I want to also welcome anyone, if you want to call in and ask Mark any questions, that would certainly be appropriate. He does have an office, and you can visit him in his office, but you know, now is the time that something might just spark your interest. But one of the things about the comprehensive plan, the development, I understand what you're saying about how it's comprehensive. I guess that's what it means. You're looking at everything: education, transportation, economic development, recreation, all the rest of those things. And I can see that you in your administration, you know, have paid attention to the development of those interests. Like there's a park, you know, the park and recreation, for example, has gotten a little bit more attention, you know, than it ever has in the past. And there are other aspects of community growth and development. And I know that, I don't know if you actually initiated the downtown rehabilitation with MRV or if that was just starting when you came in. I'm not sure.
Well, the first part of that, the study was underway.
Okay.
But I came on board, and when the implementation of that plan and the revitalization committee was formed.
Okay. So the planning, it's of great interest to me, Mark, to try to figure out how you actually then implement the plans, because we end up with documents, but we still can't figure out how to move beyond having the document. And there's so many times here, you know, as a host of this show, that I've tried to, you know, bring people together to see if there's how we can move forward on something. And we seem somehow to lack, now, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I don't know, but I mean, I've lived here all these 60 years, and as I keep telling people, the ship, I'm still waiting for the ship to come in, you know, I mean, Haynes has uncannily, you know, somehow stumbled over his own feet so many times. Help us.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's great. Yes, we are. it's a long process. And I think that's the one thing that I would want to stress, if there was any one sort of thought that I want to convey to people here, is that developments take time. There's a lot of coordination that's required. I'll get to the next step of the plans here in a minute. But I mean, if I just go back to my experience in Unalaska, Dutch Harbor, as everybody knows it as, we constructed 2,000 linear feet of dock. We've got cranes, the type of freight cranes that you see down in Port of Seattle. Private partners included Petromarine and Sealand and the Coast Guard. And, you know, this is a huge project. We had customers. We had customers that were ready to sign a commitment to finance this, private investors and private companies, partners. It still took, you know, 5 years to go through the process to make it happen. And that was, we had people ready to sign on the bottom line right then. Mm-hmm. We don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. We have some possibilities out
there.
We're
in the build it and they will come.
Well,
no?
I think we're in the let's work with these opportunities. Let's see where things go. Let's coordinate have conversations with the State Department of Transportation. Let's talk to ADA. Let's talk to these companies and see what the possibilities are, because right now there isn't anything that's on the border ready to head down here. Mm-hmm, so we just need to keep in mind that these developments are huge. They're multi-billion-dollar projects that require financing. They require permitting. There's a whole long process, a timeline here. So I just would want to stress that, you know, it's not happening. It's not imminent. Any of these developments are not imminent. But to get to your kind of the sequence, the planning process, the comprehensive plan is kind of the big umbrella. It's the roof that comes over our heads, and it helps us kind of look at the universe of possibilities. And you went through
those. I want to interrupt you for a minute.
Sure.
Because one of the criticisms of the comprehensive plan is that, in our particular one, is that for many people it doesn't seem, and I'm one of them, it seems to be a great list of brainstorming ideas that we had, but what we didn't do in a lot of ways was then take the chaff out of there and say, okay, now this is what we're really going to get focused on. In other words, it's able, somehow the use of the comprehensive plan can justify anybody, anything anyone wants to do, even when they're contradictory.
Well, okay, I'll address that. And I think that I don't necessarily have that opinion. And, and there are some very specific recommendations in the action plan. I admit the action plan is 48 pages. So that in itself is a lot of work. I've been working on this, one of my take-home assignments.
Quality of life.
I've copied all of the action plan items that I would be in theory responsible for maintaining, and these are going up on one of my whiteboards in my office so that I can keep track of you know, exactly where we're going. Well, that's just quality of life, but it includes transportation, economic development. I think there's two things, and there are some very specific action items in the comprehensive plan, in the comp plan that we have. We've got to keep in mind that the comp plan is a 20-year document plus, and so it's intentionally a little bit, I would say, vague, but, you know, it gives some general direction, but there are some very specific recommendations that came out of that. But the most important next step, and this is what we recognized or stated at the very beginning of this process, was that we need to have a strategic plan. We need to have something to implement, to get more into the minutiae, the detail, and that's the next step after putting this together. That will have a much shorter timeline, you know, two to 3 years, but that's the document that will come out of this report.
Okay. Now, some of the things that we have been talking about with the port development, I think, has probably risen to the surface as something that of interest in the community recently. And there we've sent representatives to Roundup, which is mostly mineral development, but that ties in with the port development. We also have a cruise ship dock, which is another port issue. I mean, we've got tourism, we've got ore, we've got freight issues. One of the first things that you did was, from a financial perspective, you established, or you encouraged the assembly to adopt, the establishment of port enterprise funds.
Right.
So how do all these things fit together into enterprise funds?
Yeah, that's great. The reason or the purpose of an enterprise fund, and just a quick fund accounting 101, in fact, is just one.
Okay.
Is you have two main fund types generally in a government. One is the general government or general fund, which most people associate with schools, police, fire, admin, you know, the administrative functions of government. And then the other is enterprise funds, and those would include, they would essentially operate as businesses, and the whole idea about them is that, in theory, the users would pay for the operation and maintenance, and, you know, you'd set aside funds for the future of those funds. So these really fit, the port facilities really fit into that model. And I think that, you know, it sets a goal. You know, it doesn't necessarily, there's no requirement that they pay for themselves. Lack of revenue would have to be, you know, covered by the general fund, but it gets you closer to that ideal.
Okay.
There is one other, I think, really important thing that's going on now, if I can just mention one thing that's happening right now. And the reason why it's so important to be focused on I think diversification of our eggs. You know, eggs in our basket.
Oh, okay.
You know, and this is something that probably won't come as a big surprise because, you know, we've had all this information about the fiscal cliff and budget reductions and that sort of thing from the federal government. Well, we can see the same thing at the state level. Just a couple of quick comments here about that. Just spoke with CIA, and they're seeing a reduction in what used to be the Indian Reservation Road Program. It's now called Federal Tribal Roads Program. They were receiving or are receiving $1 million per year to work on roads in Haines. That, by 2016, that's going to be reduced to $200,000 so per year. So that's $800,000 per year less that's coming into our community.
Presumably all our roads will be fixed by then.
Oh, no. Oh, we have more.
Oh, I see. I better look that up in the comp plan.
We have, but just in terms of revenues that come directly to the borough, we're seeing cuts in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that affects Toxnack Watershed Council. Secure Rural Schools, we've already received notice that the borough will be receiving a cut of $172,000 in the next fiscal year. There's no discussion whatsoever at the state level for state revenue sharing supplemental funding. That's $280,000 cut this year. So just taking those two programs alone, you know, we're looking at, you know, $350,000 of general funds, Secure Rural Schools, and revenue sharing. That we're not going to be getting next year. And there are other concerns about payment in lieu of taxes and other programs that we have come to rely on. So we need to do something. We can't make up all that loss of revenue, which pays for schools, the Chilcat Center, the, you know, the
everything we want,
Parks and Rec, and all the great things, and library, and things that we do, police, fire, and et cetera. We need to be finding ways reversing
that trend. And I'm sure this is the budget season, and I did want to talk about budget issues briefly, but and we'll probably have you back at some point in time for that when we get closer to the time when you have your budget put together. But for right now, I still want to pay more attention to some of the planning efforts and the strategies that are ongoing right now for basically economic development. Because, just this morning earlier, you know, Tom announced that Wellgreen or Prophecy, I guess, had, you know, indicated that they were going, well, we had a brief discussion with that about how it had come to light that they had stated that they were going to not be looking directly at, they were not going to be building our a port facility for us, where we kind of thought that maybe we could get them to do that.
Right.
But let me just go on. Then the $22 million that is going to be invested in the Palmer deposit over the next couple of years, all of this kind of leads to, you know, thinking about, you know, how the community is going to change. And some people are very concerned about that and think some of the developmental issues or initiatives coming from the government are going to somehow, you know, impact the quality of life positively or negatively. It depends on how you look at development, I guess. So how are you looking at it?
I think, well, first of all, with respect to Prophecy Platinum, there are no decisions right now. This is a long-term planning process. We knew that both Haines and Skagway were being evaluated as part of this transportation study. Any decision as to where you know trucks will be going, if they ever do go, if the project does go forward, we don't know.
But
it's a decision that's, you know, still has, even in within the company, that hasn't been made. What I think would be we're the preferred port because of proximity would be Haines. The problem is the lack of infrastructure. I don't think there was any plan for the company necessarily to build a port, but it would be a financed effort that would have to be go through somebody like Ada. But again, if you're not part of the planning process, you're not part of the conversation. And so
I think it's not going to be part of the solution.
That's correct. So that's what we're doing. We're learning. We're, you know, participating in the conversation. And it's not just the companies. It's the state government all the way up to the governor's office. It's the Yukon government all the way up to the premier's office. And so, you know, these are a lot of conversations are going on right now that involve energy, minerals, and other. You know, there's another one that just came out of Roundup is the possibility of a internet service from southeast up to Whitehorse that would come up Lynn Canal potentially.
Wow, that would
that
be cool.
Perhaps
wouldn't it?
Haines
could branch
tie,
off of that,
tie into.
Into
it. Well, this is that was one of the conversations because the internet Internet went down not too long ago in Whitehorse, and it took several days for them to get
reestablished. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that interesting? So everybody went skiing.
It went dark. And I know how much I depend on the Internet.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't imagine. But that happened. They don't have – there's no redundancy. There was no backup. So they're working on that right now. They're looking at other energy projects from southeast Alaska over to British Columbia and up to the Yukon. Mm-hmm. They're looking at gas. So there's a lot going on out there, and I think it's important that we be part of the conversation, that we be engaged. And by doing that, by being involved in that discussion up front, you know, A, we're not surprised, and B, we can control plans that we may or may not have any control over. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather be up in the front of that conversation rather than just in the back saying, oh wait, you know, what about our school, what about our transportation.
Yeah, one of the things tonight, as a matter of fact, today is a very busy day, but tonight the Lynn Canal Conservation's Clean Water Educational Program has a man named Guy Archibald. I think he's going to be talking at the museum. And as the chair of the Commerce Committee, I'm very interested in what he has to say about how communities can position themselves for participating financially, apparently, in economic development issues. Have you ever initiated in a community where you've worked before, let's say, a taxation program or some kind of way to, even before the development begins, like we're at a very planning stage where we could start thinking, okay, if there's a Palmer deposit and it's going to be developed, then there have to be ways that we can be compensated for the impacts of that, whether they be environmental or whatever.
Sure.
So
I'll give you one quick example. When I was out in Alaska, it's the largest fishing port in the United States, commercial fishing port, and you know, we get about 1 billion pounds of fish across the dock. That was just the fish that was processed in the community. There was another 2/3 larger. I mean, that was about a third of the total fish that came across our dock. The other 2/3 was fish that was processed at sea. You know, the factory trawlers, and they would load the product onto trampers. Well, there was an impact associated with that activity that the fish tax didn't capture because the fish was processed at sea rather than in the city limits, and that's how our fish tax is structured. So we worked with the legislature. We worked very hard. It was a very tough process to go through, but we got an equivalent tax that applied to the factory trawlers that delivered product inside Alaska communities, inside the municipalities, so that now that's it established a more level playing field. That was one of the hardest, toughest, most contentious bills that went through the legislature that year. But it did get through, and it resulted in an additional $2.2 million per year to the city of Unalaska. But I think that was an example of not trying to be greedy, because all we were doing is leveling the playing field so that if you invested a third of a billion or $200 million into a fish processing plant, you weren't being taxed when the ships that were operating at sea didn't have a tax.
Sure.
So those are examples of reasonable approaches to
That is something that the Commerce Committee is going to be looking at.
Sure.
We've already had it on the agenda, and we'll bring it back again. We don't have much time left, but I do want to talk about, briefly mentioned, it's budget season, and budgets are about revenues, and they're about expenses, and you've already talked about some of the upcoming problems, I guess you have with challenges that you have. One of the things I want to talk about, just the expenditures, not the revenues right now, because really we've kind of grown the government, our staff, substantially over the past couple of years. And we've not only added a couple of positions, but we've also, when there was attrition, we've upped the pay scale for some of the positions that we have. So how, first of all, I'd like to know, I mean, that hopefully we don't need to talk about this right now. You know, that's made a difference in our productivity. I mean, those positions have made a difference in the volume of stuff that we produce and the quality of what we produce. But what will it mean for us as a community in terms of the costs of the human resource, and how are you planning, and you don't have to let out all your secrets, but I mean, you are working for us. So how in the world are you going to face the fact that we've taken on added human personnel costs in a shrinking revenue scenario?
Well, I don't have the the percent increase, no. But I don't think I don't think it's been a lot. I think that there were some, you know, we haven't filled several positions that, that had been part of the budget previously. So, you know, what we do every time is we try to say, okay, how do we, you know, there may be a slight increase overall, but I think we've tried to keep the impact of staff to an absolute minimum, on, especially on the general fund. But this is a concern, and I, you know, we're taking a very, very hard approach to looking at what our current expenditures are, and staffing, and seeing where we can make adjustments. But you know, those are going to be those are going to be very painful. I mean, you get to a point where you're to make any significant impact. I mean, if we're talking on the order of, you know, $350,000, we're not talking about, you know, small items like pencils and we're talking about programs and services and people. And you know, it's gonna be a tough, and that's why I think it's so important, you know, that and we're not gonna be able to solve any of these economic problems in the short term. It's gonna take a few years.
That's what
years.
You said when you first came on.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I'll say that for as long as I'm here. It takes time, but we do need to kind of have one eye in the short run eye today in the next fiscal year. We need to keep one eye, you know, 5 and 10 years down the road, so that we don't create a situation where we go, I call it the Thelma and Louise moment, you know, where we drive off the cliff.
I've been there, Dead Horse Gulch.
So that's what we want to avoid. Right, we're looking for ways to do that, and we're working very hard at it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark. Our time is up for today, and I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been informative, and I hope it was fun for you.
Very much.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Talk Around Town is supported in part by Community Waste Solutions, offering comprehensive refuse services for the community of Haines, with curbside pickup to South Hall, composting to recycling, C&D disposal to septic and porta potty services. Community Waste Solutions at the end of FAA Road in Haines, open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
To KHNS, Haines, Clequan, and Skagway. Hey, who are you?
I am Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Welcome to KHNS and welcome to Haines. You are
Thank
a newcomer
you.
In Haines, aren't you?
I moved here last April or end of April.
Okay,
so.
Not quite a year.
Yeah.
And what brings you here?
I am the assistant brewer for Haines Brewing Company.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And are you from a beer producing background?
I started home brewing shortly after I turned 21.
Uh-huh. Because beer was too expensive or what?
No, just because I enjoyed the craft of it. I've always been involved in cooking and I guess food science. And it just seemed right up my alley, and I enjoyed craft beers and wanted to make some.
So where were you when you found out you enjoyed that sort of thing?
I was in Montana.
Uh-huh. And that's where you grew up?
I grew up in Minnesota. But I lived in Whitefish, Montana for about 6 years before I came to Haines.
Was your family in the food or brew business?
My dad's a baker, but No, not really. It was kind of my own thing.
Okay. Well, I've always admired women who drink beer. I'm not a beer drinker. Do you drink beer? Oh, you sounded like, of course you are.
It's kind of my job. Yes. Strong ales and strong, dark, delicious beers. Yes.
So I can tell already. I mean, it doesn't take much for you to get right into the scheme of it. So as the assistant brewmaster?
Well, brewmaster is this big title that involves knowing all the science behind everything from malting
to all that.
He's not a certified brewmaster, but yeah, you don't have to be a brewmaster to make amazing beer, and most breweries don't have a brewmaster. It's just head brewer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so as the assistant, you are just working with Paul?
Well, working in Haynes, it's really unique because I am the only employee for the brewery. Mm-hmm. And since our tap room is right on the brew floor, it's a really unique experience where I get to kind of be at all sides of the operation, whether it's serving pints or cleaning kegs or helping make the beer. Yeah, so I get kind of my hands in everything. It's really fun.
Cool. Now, Beth, I noticed that your name is also on the KHNS volunteer board. Tell me about that.
I've been doing the Blue Soul Funk Show about every other week, and tonight's my night. So, yeah, I was just out there pulling music.
And is this your? Have you ever been on a radio? Have you been on radio before?
No.
Okay, very cool.
No, it was just, you know.
Well, you
Haynes
sound like a pretty adventuresome person.
Yeah, Haynes tell us something full of little adventures like that, like being a DJ. And
so, anything else about yourself that you'd like us to know? Some fun stuff.
No.
Oh come on! Are you a fly fishing person?
No, my dad's a fisherman.
From Montana have to be fly fishermen. I don't know why.
My fly rod cast is pretty awful. I've definitely tangled some line before, but it's a really fun approach and it's really fun trying it.
Now, Margaret is putting something here in front of my face and a reference to a kissing booth.
Gosh.
Do you have one or what?
I just have one, you know. No, on Sunday evening, we're doing a benefit for the cabin that burnt down this last Saturday. My good friend Sylvia, Katie, and Ellie were subleasing it from Lawrence and the owners of the cabin. There was just a lot of people involved in that fire, so we're having a little benefit at the Fort Seward Lodge on Sunday at 5:30. Okay. We're going to show a ski movie, the Sweetgrass Productions movie Solitaire from this last year. And, we're going to have a kissing booth.
It's hard to believe that you've only been here since April. You sound like you've woven yourself right into the community.
Bobbing and weaving, Deborah.
Well, cool. Good for you. Thanks. You very, very much.
Yeah,
and our time is
you.
Up. You
All
bet.
Right.
Thanks. Tonight, that landscapes, a geologic, ecologic, and traditional knowledge look at our region. That's at the library at 6:30 tonight. Lynn Canal Conservation Clean Water Education Series with Guy Archibald at the museum at 6 o'clock. And the borough is having a committee of the whole at 6:30 to learn more about the Department of Transportation plans for improvements to the Haynes Highway. Please, please, please use HaynesAK.com to post your engagements and, more importantly, find out what other events are already posted for your chosen time for your event. The community needs to get coordinated on that, and that's at www.HaynesAK.com. To talk around town this week. Thanks to our guests, Tom Morfitt, Margaret Friedenauer, Tom Haywood, Mark Ernest, and Beth Fenhouse. The exhibition of Talk Around Town will be right here on this station, KHNS, on March 7th. Stay tuned. This is station KHNS.